We continue the series in Daniel entitled Dare to Be a Daniel. This morning we're looking at Standing True, and the scripture reading is Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 and following, and this sets the tone for the entire book. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. Then he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon, and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenazes, the chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The king's official gave them new names, to Daniel, the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of all the chief of eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, and who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youth who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servant for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed to you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all the literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all the visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought into the chief of eunuchs, brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with him, and among all them none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we're thinking about Dare to Be a Daniel, one of the just great books of the Bible, and we're thinking about standing true in the face of compromise. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this mother who told her son not to go swimming, and later when this young boy came in and mother noticed that he was wearing his bathing suit and it was dripping wet, and so his hair was wet as well. And the mother looked at the little boy and said, I thought I told you not to go swimming. And the little boy said, well, the water looks so good. And the mother said, well, why did you wear your bathing suit? He said, well, in case I got tempted. Well, you know, for all of us, we all face some temptation. Sam Levinson said it this way, lead us not into temptation, just tell us where it is and we'll find it on our own. Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it the first time, but ever since then I've been doing it on my own. True, isn't it? All right, well, a survey on temptation and compromise said, you know, what's the top temptation in your life? And the number one was materialism, sort of a subtle tendency to compromise. Number two was pride. Number three was self-centeredness. Number four was laziness. And there's a tie between anger, bitterness, and lust. And then there's envy, gluttony, and lying. The truth is we all face some kind of temptation. Often it's very, very subtle in our lives. And this morning, as we look at these 4 youths, these 4 young men, there's a tremendous ability to stand in the face of temptation. And I think there's some great lessons for our lives this morning. And first, just a little bit of a recap. If you were here, or even if you weren't here last week, when we talked about how that around 605 was the Battle of Carchemish, in which Nebuchadnezzar's forces went down and conquered Egypt, was a turning point in history, and Judah was then the next in line, and they paid some tribute, and then later on, there were some signs that the Babylonian kingdom had weakened. Egypt rose up in revolt. Nebuchadnezzar went down and defeated them. Judah tried to rebel, and then King Nebuchadnezzar came and laid siege to Judah and all of Jerusalem. And in that year, that the city fell, and the king had died during that time, King Jehoiakim. King Jehoiachin, his son was put in his place, and the king, Nebuchadnezzar, absolutely leveled the city. He destroyed the city. He burned it. Some records indicate that more than 1 million people were killed, not just soldiers, but civilians. And 10 years later, because of continued rebellions, why then he went back in again and destroyed and burned to ground in 586 the temple. And so there's this destruction that's all around. And part of Nebuchadnezzar's strategy in 597 was to take around 10,000, according to his own records, of the best and the brightest of the young people and nobility, the king's family from Judah, the Judean in Jerusalem, and then to take them up to Babylon, the capital city, and there he was to educate them. And his purpose was really twofold. Basically, he had the best and brightest as hostages, so he knew that there'd be some lessening of danger for rebellion in the Judean countryside. But also his strategy was kind of sophisticated, and many kind of conquering people have tried to imitate this later on, which was to take those young men and women who were the best and the brightest and to subtly educate them in the language and literature and really have them assimilate their values and then later on send them back to rule the people with their values, and in that way the people were more prone to follow them. And so their tendency, knowing this was their strategy, was to rebel and to stand up against this. And so in that moment, Jeremiah the prophet sends them this note, and he sends them a letter that's found in Jeremiah chapter 29, and he tells them four things. He says, first of all, you need to live and settle there. And that was the opposite of what they had really thought they should do. But he says, you need to keep strong values. Keep your identity strong, and then be a blessing. Now, that was perhaps the greatest challenge and the greatest surprise. And he says, seek the peace and prosperity, and even pray for Babylon, and do it with a heart of love, really. Seek the shalom, is literally what he said. And then finally, trust God, that God will bring you back after 70 years, and God is going to judge Babylon if they don't turn from their wicked ways. But in the meantime, you're called to be salt and light in the world. And that message is really the message that Christ, I think, gives us as a challenge too. So there's a lot of similarities. So the first thing I want to think about as these young men face the challenge this morning is that we're to take a stand. That we're to take a stand. And you think about this for a moment, and here they were. Babylon was the symbol, and still is in the Bible, the symbol of sort of the counter kingdom, the counter values to the kingdom of God. And at that time, of course, these young men saw the destruction of Jerusalem, which was the capital city. They never thought anything would happen to Jerusalem, and it was just laid waste. And even the temple was later destroyed, and it had to just destroy their hearts as well. Maybe as many as 1 million people were killed. And so they left behind nothing but ruins. And before them, when they came into Babylon, was one of the great cities of the world empires of old history. And Babylon's architecture is famous. In fact, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon are one of the architectural wonders of the ancient world. And King Nebuchadnezzar had a wife from a foreign kingdom where there was a lot of mountains, and so he decided to please her was to make this pyramid-tiered garden. It was really on pillars like a pyramid, and the gardens were just beautiful and spectacular with fountains, and it's just an engineering marvel and one of the great ones of all the empires. And so there was golden statues, there was gold, and of course they were in the king's palace, and there's a lot of glam and glitter. And if you think about it for a moment, I mean, it sounds a little like Hollywood today, doesn't it? And doesn't Hollywood's culture tend to subtly influence our values each and every day? And so we think about the glam and glitter of Babylon, maybe a way to look at that is in the glam and glitter of Hollywood, which is, there's a lot of good things in Hollywood, but there's also this subtle influence to compromise. Listen to what it says in the scripture again. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without physical defect, handsome, and these are the best and brightest, buff, good-looking, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So they take the best and the brightest, and they get to sit at the king's table. Now, most of the Babylonian empire didn't get to sit at the king's table. I mean, this was sitting at the president's table with the president's chef, the best and the brightest, the best wine, the best meat, everything. And 3 years, it sounds a lot like a college education today, right? The best language and literature. Of course, some of our students, 4 or 5 years or maybe more, but 3 years of education at this time in the king's palace in the great kingdom of the world was a great opportunity. So they had this full ride scholarship, including everything to University of Babylon, and all they had to do was sort of go along with the program. All they had to do was eat at the king's table. And that was pretty extraordinary. But in that, they had some choices to make. What were the choices? To stand for the values that they were challenged to do, to stay true to the values that God had given them, or to subtly be compromised by King Nebuchadnezzar and all the values of the household. And so it was an extraordinary opportunity, but it was also an extraordinary challenge. And the first thing is there was this subtle change in their names. Well, subtle but profound, I suppose. And they didn't seem to chafe at the change of their names. Now, inside, they probably had to really resist this, but they seemed to choose their battles wisely. And I think that's a lesson for us. We need to choose our battles wisely. But listen what was going on here. I mean, it wasn't just a change in a name. The king was trying to change their identity. So Daniel's name, Daniel literally means God is my judge. And it was changed to Belshazzar, which literally means to protect the king. I mean, what a difference. God is my judge versus to protect the king. And then Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious, and it was changed to Shadrach, which means command of Aku, which is the moon god. Now, big difference there, Yahweh is gracious versus command of Aku. Mishrael means who is like God. Who is like God? Changed to Meshach, which is thought to mean who is as Aku is. Probably a popular song of the day, but Aku, again, the moon god. And Azariah, Yahweh has helped, is what Azariah means, to Abednego, which means servant of the god Nabu or Nabu, both pagan gods. Now, I mean, the king was trying to subtly change their identity, but they were able to keep their inner identity true. And we see it because they had this inner compass, and when it came time to take a stand, they knew when it was to take a stand. And it came along the lines of diet. Now, the idea was they would have the best food and drink. The meat had been offered to the pagan gods at the time. Probably the wine was part of the pagan ceremonies. Maybe these young men had taken a vow in their own life and religious vows and what they would eat. And so Daniel goes before this Azariah, and it says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And they were willing to take a stand, and I think that's really important. They knew when to choose the battle and when not to. They didn't chafe at the names, though they probably always called themselves by their Israelite names when they were with themselves. But when it came to diet, which seemed like a small thing, they stood up, they took a stand. There's something else I think that is important, that they not only took a stand, but they took a stand together. And I think for us, to take a stand together, you know, as a family of faith, with friends that share the same kind of values is an important value for us. It says this, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Notice that Daniel does it not in kind of a rebellious way, but a very respectful way. He goes before them and asks this favor. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel because of his attitude, perhaps. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Now, he had a legitimate complaint. The king is going to cut off my head, which is a very real danger for him. So he was understandably concerned. Would you agree? And so Daniel, with this wisdom, says, well, listen, give us 10 days with our diet, okay, which is vegetables and water, and the other men our age, the same, you know, from the king's table, and 10 days, compare us. And he decides that that's not a bad thing. And so they have the 10 days, they're faithful to the diet, and they come before him, and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all look stronger, tougher, wiser than everyone else. And so he says, that seems fine to me. And so in this, we see that God blessed them, and they had a lot of wisdom in how they went about that stand. But I think that there's something that's really important here, which is, you know, oftentimes college students in my time as a campus minister would come to me and say, you know, how do I stay true to my faith in the temptation of college? And college has a lot of temptations. You know, first time you're away from home, first time you're away from oftentimes your home church, and there's all kinds of temptation, you know, in college, and there's temptation everywhere. And one of the things I'd say is, you know, choose your friends wisely. Because your friends often will help you in the decisions, and you just end up going along or you end up standing up. And these young men resolved to stand together. And I think it's not just for college students, it's for all of us. whether we're at work and the culture where we are, to be able to take a stand. And you know, that's one of the reasons that fellowshipping together and to listen to God's word together and small group Bible studies are so important, because we support and encourage one another in the faith. It's hard to stand alone, but it's a lot easier to stand together. So they took a stand and they stood together, and then they stood strong. And I think that God often strengthens us through the smaller tests to build us for the bigger challenges down the road. You know, this seemed like a small thing to them, maybe to us today. We think, well, you know, it's just the king's meat, the king's wine. But there were bigger challenges down the road for these young men. And they would face the sort of being forced to worship an image of the king. They would be forced to not pray to their God. And they would have this threat of the fiery furnace and the threat of the lion's den. And I think God was strengthening them in this small trial that would give them strength and trust and faith down the road. Listen to what it says in Scripture. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. You know, what a witness. I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, some people are kind of anti-education, don't get into the colleges and universities at the time, or don't get into the workplace. You know, the truth is, these young men became salt and light in the world at that time. They were a tremendous witness to Babylon. They were encouragement to the Israelites. But I think they made a difference in the Babylonian kingdom as well. And sometimes I think our attitudes as Christians are one of two extremes. I mean, either on the one hand, we have isolation, where we just want to sort of isolate ourselves from the kingdom. And there's some good Christians who believe that way. You think of kind of like the Amish sect, and you know, they have nothing to do with any kind of modern kind of culture, and they're afraid of compromise, and so they just go over here, and they have their group that's salt and light to themselves. And we may not have that exact attitude, but sometimes you see people in a church and it's like, well, we don't really want to go out into the world. We want to keep our sort of our robes pure white, and they might soil our robes, and we're better than them. And so that's one of isolation. The other extreme is one of assimilation, where we just take on the values of the world around us. We take on the values of Hollywood or maybe Wall Street or whatever it is, and we don't become the salt and light that God challenges us to be. So there's isolation extreme on one side and assimilation on the other. But I think the proper Christian attitude is one of insulation. Now, insulation means that we're in the world, but we are together as a Christian family of faith, and we keep the values within ourselves strong and true as kind of an inner compass. And I think, you know, someone once used the metaphor, you know, there's no problem with a boat in the water. The problem is when the water gets in the boat. And I think that's true of our Christian life, you know. We're in this boat with Christ, and we're in the boat kind of as disciples, and we're out in the world, we're out in the wind and waves, facing challenge and temptation, maybe wind and waves, and there's no problem as long as the water doesn't get into the boat. When the water gets in the boat, we start to go down, and so we can stand strong for that which is true and become faithful witnesses, and I think that's a challenge for us. To use an example on the other extreme of someone who failed, think of the moment the story of Samson. You know, Samson, he'd taken Nazarite vow, and that meant that he was supposed to have a special diet, and he was also supposed to not cut his hair. And so it's sort of a secret among just the people of Israel what his secret was. He had tremendous strength. He was a tremendous warrior. And then he found himself sort of going down to the Philistines and falling in love with a woman. He knew he wasn't supposed to be there, but her charm and her beauty, just always, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And she began to capture his heart, and then the Philistine army, knowing how powerful and strong he was, came to Delilah and wanted her to seduce him and to find out the secret of his strength, and then to sort of compromise him, and then they could overtake him. And so the first time when she did that, why, he said, well, you know, it's just flaxen strands. If they're tied around me, then I don't have my strength. And so she did that. And then the Philistines came in, and he just broke the strands, and he killed them. And then another time was something else. And then finally, after enough prying, you know, he caved in to her her sort of prying and wish to compromise his values. And he said, well, the secret to my strength is in my hair not being cut. And so he fell asleep and sort of, you know, you think of that imagery of falling asleep in our values and not standing true and standing strong. And she cut his hair, and then the Philistines came in, and of course he didn't have his strength, and he was captured, and he was destined to live his life. They poked out his eyes. He was blind and had to just run and walk in circles and power a mill. But later on, God blessed him with new strength as his hair grew. But the story is one of a compromise on values and standards. And I think you look at these Israelites, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood true in the small things. And later on, when they're faced with a fiery furnace and with the lion's den, they stood true in their values. And I think that's the challenge for us today. There's a wonderful story of this Cherokee Indian grandfather, and he was with his young grandson. And he looked at his grandson, listen, there's two wolves that are battling within you. And one wolf is one that's full of anger and patience and wrong values. And the other wolf is a wolf with right desires and with love and patience. And the little boy said, well, Grandpa, which wolf will win? And the grandpa said, whichever wolf you feed. And you know what's true in our lives? We all face some tension in our lives. But truth is, how do we feed the strength and the light that's within us? By worshiping the Lord and by prayer and by Bible reading, by getting together and encouraging one another. And so the difficulty that comes to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is one that we face every day. And there was a poll that was out about some of the things that led to sort of falling to temptation. The biggest thing was to neglecting time with God, 81%. And then other people said physically tired, sometimes not taking care of herself, 57%. But what helped you in resisting temptation? 84% of the people said regular prayer, and then avoiding compromising situations, not getting yourself in that place, 76%, and then regular Bible study, 66%. You know, we all can do some things to help us stay strong in the face of the temptation to compromise. These young men are great examples of how to stay true. The first thing is to take a stand. You know, choose your battles wisely, but keep that inner compass strong. Know when to take a stand and be willing to take a stand for what's right, and then stand together. Pick your friends wisely. The people that you fellowship with on a close basis really can help you stand or make you fall. So choose friends that have a heart of faith, and finally stand strong, because God often uses the small battles to strengthen us for the bigger battles down the road. 1 Corinthians 10:13 that Christy read earlier is such a beautiful verse that God says this, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. In other words, God knows you're facing some battles and difficulties, temptation to compromise, but trust God that there's always a way to stand strong, just like these young men did. You know, I want to close with this thought. As it was wonderful to watch the Olympics, and you know, there's great athletes from around the world and different Christians around the world, but it was really nice to see some of the U.S. athletes with great faith. And my daughter loves gymnastics, and you know, one of our heroes has been Gabby Douglas through the years. And Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles and Lori Hernandez not only are great athletes, and for the whole U.S. Gymnastics team is great, but these young women also have a very strong faith, and they encourage each other in their faith. And I think that's one of the things that helps them to stand true in difficult times. And Simone Biles tweeted back earlier, she said this, she said, faith, it does not make things easy, it makes them possible. You know, that's a great truth for a young woman who's just 19 years old, and she went on to say, look back and thank God, and look forward and trust God. And that was before the Olympics actually took place, and Gabby Douglas, who did great in 2012 and also did great in this time, had said this, she said in an interview, faith plays a very big role in my life. I don't know where I would be without it today. I've always been praying for everything, and my mom always exposed me and my siblings to being Christian and the Bible. I was watching back and looking at the Olympics, and my mouth is moving, and that's me praying. And I saw them praying again in this Olympics together, and then the young person that's on the team, Lori Hernandez, who's only 16 years old, and she had really felt the pressure of what was coming up, and she said, I'm coming in training as hard as I can, but then she goes on to say, if that would be amazing. But if I don't, then that's a different path that God wants us to take. And I know that there are better and greater things that God wants me to do. You know, all these young ladies won gold in the Olympics, and they did fantastic. But even more importantly, they kept their values strong. And I think one of the reasons they were able to keep their values strong was they stood together We too face challenge, whether it's in college or at workplace or wherever we are. And sometimes it's in small ways and sometimes it's in big battles. But I think the truth is that we can take a stand and know when to take a stand. And then if we encourage ourselves and take the right kind of friends and peers around us, we can stand together and then finally we can stand strong, because God truly often strengthens us through the small battles of life to face bigger battles down the road. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we come before you this morning, we know that we often face temptation to compromise and decisions that are before us. And of course, we know those around us, particularly young people today, face a lot of temptation to compromise. And so every day, help us to lift up those around us, particularly our young people. Help us to encourage them. Help us to encourage them in the word and to pray for them. Help us to be a blessing to them. We pray, too, that our own lives would not falter, but we'd make the right choices. We'd stand for the right values. We'd be salt and light in your world as Jesus our Lord challenged us to be. Help us to stand true for what is right, and that way to be salt and light in our world today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.